This is Fresh Brew with me, Jason Vandermark.
How many of you got your Bibles with you? Oh, we know we got. There's got to be more than that. Colton got it. Love it. We're going to be in Genesis 1 and 2. However, Bev, we're going to start in Exodus 33. I give Bev a hard time because she comes to Tuesday morning studies and she'll ask where we're starting and I'll tell her a book and inevitably it's wrong. I inevitably go somewhere else first or whatever. And she always gives me a hard time. Always. Can you believe that somebody like that would do that to me? Just give me such a hard time. So I'm...
She's AJ's sister.
Is that it?
That's it.
Yeah, but they're so worlds apart.
They are.
I'm going to shut up about that. Okay. I'm going to start in Exodus 33, and we're going to go to verse 18, if you got your Bible. You there. So in this moment, Moses had found favor with the Lord, and the Lord looked down on Moses with favor. And he says to Moses, you know, ask me for anything. Basically, verse 17, I think it says, then Yahweh said to Moses, I will do this thing which you have spoken, for you have found favor in my sight, and I have known you by your name. So then Moses says, verse 18, Moses says, I pray you, show me your glory. And he said, I myself will make all, somebody say all.
All.
I will make all my goodness pass before you. Now, catch the promise. Did it say some?
All.
It said all of my what?
Goodness.
If you were in the complete presence of the Lord, and all his goodness pass before you. That doesn't just mean that every nice attribute of peace, love, joy, and patience, and kindness, and, you know, fruits of the Spirit. We're not talking just about that. We're talking all the goodness of God, and we're talking all the knowledge that God has to bestow upon somebody. We're talking everything. It's not just niceties. It is everything. And the Lord said, I'm going to let all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of Yahweh before you, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show compassion on whom I will show compassion. But he said, you can't see my what?
Face.
For no man can see me and live. And then Yahweh said, but behold, there's a place by me, and you shall stand there on the rock, and it will come about while my glory is passing by. I will put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I've passed by. Then I will remove my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. So God is telling Moses, I'm going to show you everything. I'm going to show you all my goodness. Let me say all again. All my, somebody say goodness.
Goodness.
Goodness. Latch onto that because God found so much favor with Moses in that. But then he says, you can't see my face. He says, but I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock. I'm going to cover your face with my hand. And as I walk by and as you experience my glory, I'll have my hand over your face. And then after I walk by so that you can't see my face, I'll remove my hand and you can see my backside. It's almost like God just went, you know, lift up his robe or whatever. Here's the glory. How many of you know, though, that to see the face of the Lord, that's what Moses wanted. To see the backside of the Lord sounds kind of odd and awkward. Like God would make this statement of going, here, I'm gonna cover your hand and then just show you my back. You can just see my back. Moses wasn't wanting to know that he existed and he was real. Moses was wanting to know the glory of the Lord. He knew God was real. God had already delivered them out of Israel. God had already parted the Red Sea for them. God had already shown him signs and wonders and the plagues and all of that. He knew that God was real. It's not like he just needed to see a person. So when you dive in, and because you think, this is silly. Why would Moses be any happy with that. And you get to the word back. He says, well, you should see my back. That word in Hebrew is achor. Somebody say achor. And you got to do the ch. Achor. If you're writing it out in English, phonetically, I guess it would be A-C-H-O-R. But when you see that in Hebrew, it's achor. See? I'm glad somebody thinks I'm funny. That Hebrew word literally means, it can mean the back, it can mean the backside, but it can also mean something off in the distance, something from the past, something from the future. Okay? Now, this is huge and important to this Genesis revelation, because who wrote the first five books of the Bible? Anybody know? Moses. Now, I want you to understand something about Moses, because you could easily say, well, Moses was a Hebrew. He was, you know, from the Hebrew family and lineage and all that. So he should have all these stories handed down to him, and he would be able to write about it here and write the full five books. He should be able to write about creation because stories have been handed down. Moses, when he was a baby, he was placed in a basket, right? Was he among the Hebrews? No, he was among the Egyptians. There is no way that Moses would have gotten stories handed down to him, because he grew up among the Egyptians. He grew up among Pharaoh and Pharaoh's kids, right? This is important, because when Moses got knowledge, he got it directly from the Lord. There is no filtered, adulterated knowledge, hand-me-down stories. How many of you have hand-me-down stories that have probably shifted over the course of time? You kind of know, like, there's a little bit of an exaggeration going on here, because it's been handed down and handed down. Moses got unadulterated, unfiltered knowledge directly from the Lord. So I want to go back to the very beginning in Genesis 1. If you don't know where that's at the very beginning. It's the first book, the first chapter of the first book. And we're going to talk about creation. Now, as we get into this, please, so look at your neighbor and say, Pastor Jason is not saying God didn't create the earth in 6 days. That is not what this message is about, okay? You don't have to say that part. Done. What Jason is saying is there is more to this chapter than a six-day creation, okay? Remember when we were talking about salvation maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, and what I said was, you're saved, but you're not saved yet, right? So it's already, but not yet. It's been decreed, it's been established, you're saved, but not fully yet, right? You remember that? And your complete salvation comes when you come into the arms of the Father. That's salvation. Because he's delivered you from this trials. He's delivered you from the tribulations. He's delivered you from your sin. He's delivered you from sorrow and pain and suffering. That is salvation, right? Okay. Genesis chapter 1, already, but not yet. Somebody say already.
Already.
But not yet. Okay. Wow. Let's just start. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the
beginning.
Yeah, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. And God said, let there be. And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. He called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning one day. And we'll stop there for a minute. God is so amazing. You get to day 3, and God talks about lights in the expanse of the heavens, and that's sun and moon. So in this first part, when he says, let there be light, and I know that we've preached this part before, but when he says, let there be light, what's he saying? He's saying, let there be me. Okay, in John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But in verse 4, it goes on to say, the Word was the life, and the life was the light to men. The life-given, life, somebody say life. Life-given was light to men, okay? So when God said, let there be light, he was saying, let there be me, but he was saying, let there be life. Because up to that point, remember what it said, the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. There was nothingness. There was darkness. And God said, let there be light. And he saw that the light was good. So what was he saying? Why did he call the light day and the darkness night? If it's not meant to be the physical day and the physical night. Because the Bible says there's pain in the night, right? There's suffering in the night. There's suffering in the darkness. What God is trying to tell you from the very get-go, there is good and there is evil. You all wonder, like, well, when did God create evil? Did God create everything good and then evil just kind of happened when Adam and Eve disobeyed? No. Because if you create all things good, then apart from good, there is what? Evil. There has to be. Because apart from light, there is what? Darkness. We talked about that last week too. When you take away the light, that's when you get the darkness. When you take away the heat, that's when you get the cold. When you take away the good, that's when you get the evil. That's what that's all about. You get, and so God is saying, I'm calling the light day because though there's pain and suffering in the darkness, in the night, his joy comes when? Yeah. His joy comes in the morning. His joy comes when there's light. His joy comes when he says, let there be light. Because the light, in John chapter 1, the Bible says that the light was life. Somebody say life again.
Life.
So the light was life to men. So there's pain and there's suffering in the night. The joy comes in the morning. M-O-R-N-I-N-G. God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters. This is verse 6. And let it separate the waters from the waters. So God made the expanse and separated the waters which were below the expanse from the waters which were above the expanse. And it was so. God called the expanse heaven, and there was evening, and there was morning, a second day. Then God said, let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place, and the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering of the waters he called the seas. And God saw that it was good. And then God said, now, I want you to hold on to this verse 11. Then God said, let the earth sprout, somebody say sprout, vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees on the earth bearing fruit, catch this, after their kind. I think King James says after their kind. I think New King James says according to their kind. But after their kind, plants yielding seed after their kind, and trees bearing fruit with the seed in them, after their kind. And God saw it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. Then God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. So God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and also the stars. And God placed them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule the day and the night and to separate the light from the darkness. God saw that it was good. Okay, so here's where God is going. Now I'm going to give you a physical representation of what I just did on day one. Now I'm going to show you that light, the greater light, rules the day. The lesser rules the night. Because where there's light, it reveals that there's no darkness. When you put light in the darkness, what happens? If we turn all the lights, we talked about this. If you turn all the lights out, if you blacked out all the windows and made this room completely dark, if you turned a light on, what would happen? Would the darkness overcome it? No. So God puts the lights to show you that the day is where the joy is, that the night is where the sorrow is, the night is where the pain is. But the nighttime, guys, is where you can find rest. Right? When do you sleep? Anybody sleep at night? Anybody have trouble sleeping at night? Okay, yeah, same. Any third shifters here? Anybody ever work third shift? What did you like third shift? Okay. Yeah. For the most part, though, we want to sleep during the night, right? Well, wouldn't it be nice if we could find rest in the midst of the trials? Wouldn't it be nice if we could find rest in the midst of the sorrow? Wouldn't it be nice if we could find rest in the midst of the pain, right? Yeah. So we're called to rest, even in the midst. That's why God gave a lesser light. He didn't leave you in the complete darkness. He showed you that while it's night, there's still light. God is so amazing in that. Okay, then God said, verse 20, let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the expanse of the heavens. And God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves, which the water swarmed after their kind. Somebody say, after their kind. And winged bird after its kind, and God saw it was good. Then God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, fill the waters in the season, let the birds multiply on the earth. And there was evening, and there was morning, a fifth day. Then God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts on the earth after their kind, right? And it was so. God made the beasts of the earth after their kind, and the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing of the ground after its kind, and God saw it was good. God is, you just keep going, why is he keep saying after their kind? God's doing all these things after their kind. I think that what God is trying to tell you is, I have created all things, and I created all things good. There is no need to take this and that and crossbreed them. There's no need to take and try and make some new genetic thing out there for you to try. I have made all things, and all things are good. Don't think that you can cross a Dumbo and a donkey. If you do, you get a dumb... I can't say it in church. That's not a political statement, guys. I'm just literally, if you think about it, an elephant and a donkey, okay? Don't cross a monkey and a whale. Don't cross a sheep and a man, because they were doing that, trying to do that. Even in ancient times, they were trying to cohabitate with animals. Sick and disgusting, but God said, after their kind, be fruitful and multiply after their kind. But then God said, in the midst of it, he said, verse 26, let us make man in whose image? Our image. Not after his own kind. Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, so that they will have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And God created man in his own image. And in the image of God, he created him, male and female. So females, not just men, are created in the image of God. You too are created in the image of God. Amen? Amen. You have to remember that. Somebody say, I am created in the image of God. I am created with conviction. In the image of God. Yeah, I have to remember that I am created in the image of God. Everything else God created, and he said, after their own kind. But I am created in the image of God. Which means there's something special about me. Which means that God has set me apart. Which means that God has said, this is sanctified. This is holy. This is mine. This is my child. This is mine. He's created after me. She's created after me. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish in the sea and over the birds and over the sky and over every living thing that creeps on the earth. God said, behold, I've given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of the earth, every tree which has the fruit of the tree yielding seed. It shall be food for you. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the sky and to everything that creeps on the earth which has life, I've given every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning the sixth day. Now, here's where this gets a little hairy. Chapter 2, verse 1 says this. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed. Somebody say completed. And all their hosts. And on the seventh day, God completed his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. And God blessed the seventh day, sanctified it, because on it he rested from all his work which God had created in making it. Okay, sounds all real and good, right? Verse 4, these are the generations of the heavens and the earth. Generations? Moses, what are you talking about here? You just gave me chapter 1, and he said these are the generations of the heavens and the earth. How many of you know what a generation is? There's probably, in some of you in your families, there's probably two or three sitting in here, right? Right now. And yet Moses says, these are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day Yahweh God made the heaven and the earth. Now, no shrub, oh my gosh, no shrub of the field was yet in the earth. But I just read chapter 1 and it said on day 3 or whatever it was that God said, let there be vegetation that sprouts. Did I not read that in chapter 1? Did you read that in chapter 1? Yeah. So he says in verse 5, now, no shrub of the field was yet in the earth, and no plant of the field had yet grown, for Yahweh God had not caused it to rain on the earth. Wait a minute. I thought the rain came with who? Noah, which built his ark out of... So if the rain didn't come until Noah, was there no plant on the ground? And he says, no, well, wait. He says, but a stream rose from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. And then God formed the man. Okay. And if I read chapter 2, and I could go through all of chapter 2, but if I read chapter 2, I'm reading it and I'm going, God created man first, Adam. And then he said, no, he's not good to be alone. So then he created the beasts and all of the animals and brought him to Adam to name. Chapter 2 seems backwards to me from chapter 1, doesn't it to you? So chapter 1 must mean something different. Couple things. Chapter 1 could either mean that God created the heavens and the earth and completely destroyed it, or chapter 1 could be a summary of all things. The Bible says, I grew up believing that chapter 1 was the summary of the six-day creation. And that chapter 2 kind of, you dove into the specifics, right? I've really come to learn, and God really kind of pressed this on me, and this is the revelation I want to show you today, is that chapter 1 is from beginning to end. That you right now, you here in this room right now, are living out Genesis chapter 1. And here's how I know that. Go back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. It says, thus the heavens and the earth were... Say it again. I want to make sure you're awake. One more time. The Hebrew word for completed is kala. Say kala. That word literally in Hebrew means, it doesn't mean it has come to its fullest, like it's fully grown. It means to finish off, to kill, to destroy, to be done with. Not done as in I'm done working, to be done as in it's done. It has reached its full potential and it's time for its destruction. That's what that word means. So he says, thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their hosts. And I want to tell you this because Moses, when he was up on the mountain asking for God's glory, and God said, I will show you all my goodness, God showed him the master plan. God showed him the full blueprint of all things, you guys. He got to see from beginning to end. And so he says, this is the generations. Somebody say generations. This is the generations of the heavens and the earth. He saw it all. And he got to see it all because guess what? God has been there. Do you know that? Let that seep in for just a second. God has been there. He knows your end. He's been there. He knows the earth's end. He's been there. He knows all the things in between because he's already been there. Genesis 1, I'm not saying that he didn't create the earth in 6 days, but I'm saying already, but not yet. Because God has been there. So when you think, God, I don't know how you're going to do this. I don't know how you're going to handle this. Or this must be a surprise to you too, God. No, it's not. He's been there. He already knows it. Knows the full plan. When you think, I don't know how I'm going to carry on in life. God's already been there. He already knows it. He's got the provision for you. He's already been there. He sees it. He knows exactly what's going to happen. He's already been there. Thus, the heavens and the earth were completed. They were made complete. Everything was done. And I got to tell you this, that by the end of it all, because who was on the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus was there? Moses. And Elijah, but Moses. Moses saw God's secret weapon. The ultimate thing that's going to make Genesis 1 come to fulfillment. That if you would surrender yourself to Jesus Christ, that if you would allow the Holy Spirit to come into your life and come into your heart and to overwhelm not just your heart, but your mind, your body, all of it. If you would do that, then God will have formed you into the likeness of his own image, and you will be image bearers of the Most High God. The God that's been there, the God that sees all things, the God that knows all things, because he's done it. It's done. He's been there. And he has every provision for you. He has everything for you. Guys, that should be an amen. And not just an amen, but that should give you some sort of comfort and peace that the God who loves you so much, the God that you serve, the God that you call your God, has made every provision for you so that you could be here today, tomorrow, until the day that you go home to be with him. He's given you every provision. Every provision. He's been there. That's the Genesis revelation. That is Genesis chapter 1, guys. It's from beginning to end. When Jesus said, I am the Alpha and I am the Omega. I'm the beginning and I'm the end. He could tell you that because he'd already been there. He already saw it all. And that's how he can bring light into your darkness. Amen.
You've been listening to Fresh Brew with me, Pastor Jason Vandermark. Hey, this is Pastor Jason. I wanted to invite you to our Sunday service at 9:30 a.m. It's low-key, come as you are. We're a pretty down-to-earth crowd. We come and worship and sing his praises. We dive into the Word of God. And we hang out and have fun. Not sure about it yet? Check us out on Facebook and YouTube. Join in on a live stream and see what we're about. While you're at it, check us out on the web at a2cchurch.com. That's A, the number 2, cchurch.com. Hope to see you soon.